We have two Spear cases. First, we're going to hear In Re Spear EC25-1117.
All right, so may I have the appearance for the appellant? And I think that there's no appellee on this matter, and that is the 1117, right? Yes, right?
Correct.
Okay, so let's have the appearance for the appellant.
Good morning, Your Honors. Nicholas Stoddard from the Law Office of James Arrowsmith on behalf of appellant Valerie Spear.
All right, since there's no one going to argue on the other side, you don't need to reserve time for rebuttal, so please begin.
Thank you. Good morning, Your Honors. This appeal asks whether a deaf pro se litigant who was simultaneously defending a federal eviction action, one that could have placed her and her three minor children on the street, should be denied her day in court on non-dischargeability simply because she missed a procedural deadline, while overwhelmed by an extraordinary confluence of adversarial proceedings. We submit that the answer is no, and that the bankruptcy court abused its discretion in dismissing AP25-02041. There are four main issues in this matter. The first is the central one, which is whether the bankruptcy court abused its discretion. The dismissal was an abuse of discretion because the deadlines were missed not through neglect, but because she was simultaneously a pro se deaf litigant facing the trustee's adversarial proceeding.
That's not this appeal. This appeal is the appeal of her adversary complaint to make non-dischargeable certain debts that were owed to her.
Yes, apologies. She was simultaneously defending against another appeal. And so my point is the balance of whether the burden in this case favors the litigant or the appellant is strongly in her favor because of the simultaneous actions she was defending. So as a pro se litigant, the precise deadlines were running on both cases, and she was handling both herself at the same time as a deaf litigant. The court must weigh whether that burden was unreasonably in her favor while defending against another action that could result in her homelessness, which took a substantial amount of her time. There are excusable neglect circumstances that are recognized under Pioneer Investment Services. The four are danger of prejudice to the opposing party, the length of delay, the reason for delay, and good faith.
Was that in your brief? Was that in the brief?
I believe so. I did not prepare the brief personally. I am working with a co-counsel.
Okay.
So the first issue of whether there was prejudice, the opposing party suffered no prejudice, or Bokalan, in this matter. The underlying merits were fully documented in the unlawful detainer trial record. Any delay was brief and attributable to the concurrent federal adversary proceeding. And the reason is compelling. Again, she was defending against two actions simultaneously while pro se. Again, she acted in good faith. She filed pro se briefs on her own behalf and was an active litigant. While she missed the deadline, that single procedural failure should not be held against her when all of these factors are weighed. I'd also point out Valerie is deaf, and the ADA and due process requires a heightened scrutiny of dismissals in these cases. She navigated federal bankruptcy court, two adversary proceedings, two board of appeals without counsel, and dismissing her non-dischargeability complaint on procedural grounds wouldn't give her a meaningful consideration of her disability and the pro se status that raised concerns of due process. I'd like to turn to the second issue as the issue of fraud. Bokalan is a licensed real estate agent and mortgage loan originator. He filed an unlawful detainer complaint falsely claiming that Valerie was his tenant, knowing that she was an equal co-owner for 6 years. He signed this fraudulent notice of termination of tenancy on December 27th, 2023, knowing that no tenancy existed. He prosecuted the unlawful detainer through trial and then under oath admitted that Valerie was an equal owner, that there was no rental agreement, and that she had never been a tenant. every element of Section 523A2 fraud is established by Boeckelin's own testimony. The debt, therefore, arising from that fraud is non-dischargeable. The third issue is the willful and malicious injury. Under Kawahau, I believe that's Kawahau, willful means a deliberate intentional injury. As evidenced by his own testimony at trial, Boeckelin's conduct was exactly that. He intentionally filed a fraudulent eviction action against his equal co-owner. He refused two separate buyout offers that would have resolved the dispute. He continued prosecuting the case through perjured testimony at trial. And when the evidence made the case indefensible, his own attorney withdrew under the state bar rules of professional conduct without even consulting him. There was no just cause or excuse for filing an eviction action against the co-owner of 8 years who has three children and the court order requiring those children to remain in the home, and not a single rental agreement was in existence. This conduct is squarely within the bounds of Section 523A6. I'd like to also touch on due process. I want to make sure. Pardon me, just making sure I have all my notes here. Dismissing a non-dischargeability complaint against a deaf pro se litigant who is simultaneously defending federal eviction proceedings without counsel, without an interpreter, was fighting on two fronts at once, essentially denied her a meaningful opportunity to be heard. Section 105 exists precisely for results like this one. Essentially, the balance of interest, the balance of burdens, strongly weighs in Valerie's favor. Nikar Boeckelin admitted under oath that there was that Valerie Speer was an equal co-owner. His own attorney withdrew, and the bankruptcy court dismissed her claims on procedure without ever reaching the merits or the facts. Appellant respectfully requests that this court reverse the dismissal and demand for full adjudication of Valerie Speer's non-dischargeability claims, giving her her day in court, her due process, and ample consideration of the burdens that are at play here. Thank you.
All right. Is that the conclusion of your argument?
Yes, I'll reserve. Conclude.
All right, very good. Thank you very much. This matter will be submitted, and we'll get you a decision promptly. So let's move on to the next one.